Oh, okay. I think I can be heard. Okay, hi all. How are you all doing? My name is Johan. This is my buddy Justin. We're two out of five members of a Stanford team that's been working with Samsung this past two quarters in the Stanford quarter system, so the spring semester, on developing something for Tizen. And we're here to talk a little bit about what we've done, our experiences, answer a few questions. And, yeah, we have another team as well coming up straight after us, so you're going to get not one but two different development experiences on the Tizen system. And the thing that's going to be a bit unusual about our project is that unlike 95% of whatever else has been talked about on this conference, we actually developed for Tizen native. So that was a very interesting experience and perhaps not the wisest decision, with considering that the web service was out there and it's pretty smooth. All right, anything to add, Justin?
No, that's about it.
All right, so what we've done, we're part of a software project course with a corporate partner. So our group, which is me, Justin, and three other guys called Brian, Kurt, and Elliot, we teamed up with Samsung. And the way this works is that Samsung sends over a prompt. We read this prompt, and then we try to the best of our willpower to stick to the prompt and develop something for Samsung. And in this case, the original prompt was, as you can see, they want us to create a mobile app for the Tizen system. It could maybe help you schedule something. There was a lot of talk about automatic scheduling, you know, sync up schedules to people you're nearby if you want to instantaneously schedule a meeting or anything like that. Perhaps your two phones could communicate and set up a time when you're both free. The keyword that was dropped a lot was seamless, so it could be a smooth introduction into the new Tizen system. We brainstormed and tried to come up with something good and something that was exciting and fun to do. Scheduling is not what most people consider fun to do or exciting. So we kind of broke away a little bit from the prompt immediately. We kind of locked on to the location part of it, and we decided to do something location-based and something more interesting. So we basically decided to break away from the prompt and find something that we were truly passionate about so we could develop this for this new system. And, yeah, just short here, some of the ideas we had. A mobile workout log, you know, social DJing, share playlist. There's a lot of things out there for like that one, but maybe we could do it better. Or, you know, perhaps we could go back to the prompt a little bit and make some sort of time management app. Some of the ideas we had. And then the problem that we finally decided to define and see if we could solve is this. It's sometimes hard when you're in a new place or a place you know very well to find content that's pretty relevant in the actual area that's surrounding you. And the problem due to this is can be broken down into three bigger parts. One, with any sort of mobile sharing app system, right? Users is the critical thing. The more users you have, the more enjoyable the experience is, the more users you get. So it's like exponentially good. You always want users, users, users. Okay? And also in an app based on location, you kind of run into some privacy concerns, right? Because you need to tell, like, okay, we want you to use your phone and we want you to tell our app where you are right now. And a lot of people don't really like that. And finally, well, to say that the social app market is somewhat saturated is quite an understatement. Everyone wants to make a social app or have their social apps included into everyone else's social app. So what we finally settled on is something that we refer to as codename Giraffe. It's very cool. It's a play on graffiti, which I will get into. So what we decided to do is basically, you post content, and the content you yourself see is based on the location around you. So right now, if you guys were to post, oh, this is the coolest presentation ever, which you obviously would, I could see that on my phone since you're near to me. Someone posting in another room, this is the coolest presentation ever, I wouldn't see that, and I'd be very happy about that. So this way people can share stories, and it's going to feel way more relevant because you're actually closer. So it doesn't just feel like someone else on the internet posted this. It's someone else on the internet that's actually close to me posted this. So we just felt that that was just a way better feeling. And obviously we need to benchmark something like that. So we went out, and there are a lot of obviously content posting social apps out there, and a lot of them are done really well. But we couldn't find something that did exactly what we wanted in the same way. We felt that everything that was out on the market right now was too locked in and too restrictive. We just wanted straight up location-based posting. Get the content that's near you. Nothing else. No need to log in to see things. Just get the content straight away. The first thing that pops up on your screen when you open the app. And then you go on, sketching up the rapid prototyping, you know, standard agile development procedures. As you can see, we're all very handwritingly ungifted, but we did our best. So don't tease us. I did one of them. I will not say which one. So think of the best one. And this is basically how we set up the app. This is, well, something that's slightly more interesting for a developer conference. It's nothing out of the ordinary or super fancy. So we had a MySQL database at the back end for storing all of our graffiti, which we set up with a Node.js server using the Express framework. It was pretty smooth, did not require that much coding on the server side of the part. Which could also communicate with the web portal, so we decided to set up a web page as well. It's always good to be as multi-platform as possible. Then this server will communicate with the main Tizen application. So the way we decided to structure this is to have five different tabs. One to see the nearby graffiti. We had a map view with a pretty cool heat map showing you where posts are nearby, so you can see where content is to be found, which in itself is a kind of cool content discovery method, right? Because you could see, oh, actually people have posted a lot of things 1 mile over there. Maybe there's a really cool place there or something like that. Post graffiti and then, you know, more setup style. And the reason we decided to go with Tizen Native instead of Tizen Web is mainly, one, due to easier access to the sensors' locations, the sensors for location and direction, and things like that. And also because we weren't quite clear on the difference and when to use which one. And after getting some really good explanations, when we actually went to visit the Samsung HQ in Korea, we kind of realized that Tizen Web is probably the thing you want to go with unless you're making something extremely performance-based or you really just want to crank out the fastest app out there. It was quite interesting to develop for native, and the IDE was pretty solid, I have to say, for being a new programming language. Anything you want to add? These are some of the more recent screenshots. It's pretty pretty native stock looking, which we don't find too bad. I find that the native the Tizen stock appearance is actually pretty good compared to iOS and Android. If you have to compare with the big ones, I think it looks pretty smooth. And it's definitely more responsive than any of the other phones I've been using. We were given a Tizen dev phone to play around with. And that was pretty cool. So yeah, here you can see some posts, all from the CS210 student user. He wants to remain anonymous so he can post cool things. Although he sounds like kind of a suck-up. You can post some graffiti. You can set the radius, so if you want to broadcast largely, you drag the meter all the way to the right, or you know, you can keep it to yourself and drag the bottom to the meter and only share for 25 meters. We're sticking to the SI system for some European flair. And finally, a map to show you where you've posted right now and where graffiti can be found. Yeah, so the way we're going to continue doing this is multi-platform access. Obviously, we want to push it out to Android and iOS as well. As I said before, you need users and you need content sharing. The more users you have, the better, especially with Tizen being as new as it is. It can be extended in a multitude of ways. Gamification, adding video, using the sensors for some cooler things like directing or shooting, or perhaps even, you know, some virtual reality drawing on the screen and adding it like that. Were some of the ideas we brainstormed for. There's a lot of cool things which can be done. Yeah, you can see an idea for some virtual reality there where you just tag a location with some drawing, BAM7 right there, post it, and then other users could use augmented reality to see other people's graffiti. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so he mentioned multi-platform access, and we're pretty big on that. It probably would have been helpful if we came to this conference beforehand, because just seeing a couple of the other sessions, there's been a lot of work like porting Android and iOS apps to Tizen, mostly using HTML5, and you guys probably check that out because it's pretty cool. We'll probably look into that too.
Yeah, so what are some of the pros and cons we've discovered working with Tizen? Let's start with the good stuff so everyone can smile. We found that, you know, developing for native, considering that it's not as, I shouldn't say supported, but as promoted as the web server, as the web version, there are a lot of example projects, and example projects are a great way to understand how things work. So we actually found that whenever, for a lot of the questions we had, we could just go into the list of example projects they have, load up the code in the Tizen IDE, which is also something that was really good, and just check out how they were doing it. The example projects weren't exactly greatly commented, which is always sad, especially when you're trying to learn. But at least the code is out there, and you can see how something that works is constructed. So that's really, really useful. And then we find the idea of having both a web version of Tizen and a native one. It's pretty cool, and they're getting pretty two different niches. Like, web is for general development, right? Unless you know exactly what you need your app to do, and you know you're going to be under performance constraints, you want to do the web version, okay? It's HTML5, it's easy to develop for, it's easy to platform, and it's easy to send out to other places. And then if you know that you need the speed, you need the performance of a C++-based native app, you can build that. We also found that the documentation out there, especially considering the API, was pretty good, considering how new Tizen is. So there was a lot of it out there. It's kind of technically written, so that might, especially for people who have done less development before, it's probably going to be harder to break into. But I don't think Tizen Native is supposed to be for the new developers. If it is, I think some sort of fleshing out of the documentation will probably be needed. And then it was pretty cool that we could, whenever we had like a problem that we really couldn't figure out that might be due to a bug in the new system, we could actually get support directly from Korea, from the Tizen department. Also going over there, visiting them was really cool. They were super nice. And they really explained to us the difference and the usage of Tizen, and we felt way better about our project after going there. And Korea is super cool. And it really seems like, yeah, this ties into that. It really has a big support from the company. There seemed to be a lot of talk about Tizen over there, and you know, entire floors dedicated to it. And yeah, it just feels like it's something Tizen's really pushing for. Finally, some of the cons. It's new. We were developing in C++, so some of the bugs were really, really hard to find. Especially when you don't know if you're screwing up or if the IDE is screwing up, or it's just like your hardware is screwing up. And sometimes you just have to backtrace and take like a completely different route because you just can't figure it out. A lot of the features will require a good deal of hacking. Again, it's C++-based, which will make some things you have a lot of control, but some things are quite hard to get right the first time. And one personal problem that we ran into is we decided to do a location-based app. The phones we got from Korea were had their location hard-coded into Seoul. So we had quite a high density of graffiti posts outside the Samsung HQ in Seoul and not much activity elsewhere in the world. They do have an emulator. It ran pretty well on my Windows laptop, which is, to be fair, it's pretty new. And the Mac version seemed to be quite a way slower. So it was quite painful to get the program up and running there. And finally, it's hard to find test users for an OS that's basically not on the market right now. It's pretty hard to ask someone if they want to test our Tizen app, and they just ask what Tizen is. Do you have anything to add, Justin?
No, I think we're out of time right now. We'll open up for a Q&A. Also, if you can find us on we have an Android version up right now. It's in beta right now. It might be a little bit buggy. But we're also, because we're trying to get multi-platform access right now to get enough users to make the app more popular. But yeah, we're open up for a Q&A right now if you guys have any questions.
So many hands. Who will I choose? Yes.
You guys just mentioned in the cons that you face a problem and you have to do a lot of hacking. So can you give us some example that were not implemented properly in Tizen, whereas it is there in the Android and iOS?
For example, at least for native right now, because the main problem was that we're doing everything in native. I think that was just released in Tizen 2.0. But for example, just adding a simple image to the app, it seemed like it took quite Android, it's just you have an image view, you just throw in an image, you throw in the path, and it's like a couple of lines of code. We had to actually create a whole new class, a lot more extra hacking to actually get to be able to display an image. And then we found out that the bitmaps wouldn't display PNGs transparently. So there's a lot of issues. It's coming along pretty fast considering how new it is. We definitely ran into a lot of the early bugs of trying to get just the basic app stuff working. I think on web it's pretty well fleshed out. It's the natives coming along behind it right now.
I'm happy about one question. That was one more than I expected.
Question. You mentioned the emulator is slow on the Mac. Mm-hmm. Now, is it possible to use the hardware device and hook up to a Mac and debug just like the Android scenario?
Yes. We ended up having to do that. But like we said, the problem with our devices were that they're hard-coded to a certain location. So in some instances, for debugging and testing, we wanted to use the emulator because we can inject locations directly. We had about two or three of us with PCs, the emulator on Windows was perfectly fine. It worked pretty well, I think.
Yeah, we also didn't get the phones until after a few weeks, so that's why we had to use the emulator in the beginning. But actually, with the phone, it was really, really fast. It responded way faster. Installing the app and testing it, I felt was way faster on Tizen than the Android development we're doing right now.
Hi, I'm Martin. I was wondering, how long did it take you guys to implement the native application? Because the native SDK just came out 3 months ago or so, right? Was it the time span of 3 months that it's been out?
So we actually we went to Korea in end of March, I think. End of March. It took us maybe about a month or two to get that native app, all you saw right there, working. So it's it didn't take too long actually. It was just a little bit tough because you can't Stack Overflow or anything. You have to we're the first people doing it. It's once they release Tizen 2.0, we're the first people developing for it.
Exactly. You Google Tizen problems and you see Justin's posts. That's happening.
It took us about 1 to 2 months to develop Tizen native. About equivalently on Android right now, it maybe takes about a week or less. So there's still work to be done because, like I said, there's a lot of hacking to do to get some of the features working that you can do very easily in Android and iOS. But, I mean, those are much older. And Android, I think, when it first started, was also pretty bad. So it's a pretty interesting experience, though.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. I think we're out of questions right now, so we'll move on to the next group. Give them some time.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Okay, so we are the second team to present, and we were also a five-person team at Stanford working on a Tizen application. We also did a native Tizen application. We received the same prompt, and we kind of stuck more towards the prompt and developed a application to schedule plans. And I think one of the reasons we decided to do that was because it was so difficult, at least early on, for us to all meet at the same time. And so you can see now we have three of our five team members here because the other two are busy. And so just getting everyone in the same location at the same time and to agree upon a time was very difficult for us. And we were wishing there was a better way to do that. So that's one of the motivations to get us on to our prompt. So I'm Jeff, this is Janice, and this is Aaron.
So as Jeff mentioned, first we will go through the problems that we see in today's society and how we address them. And that was the reason behind our app. So we realized that there are a lot of apps and websites out there for scheduling events, but overall there is no quick, easy way to set up casual get-togethers. We have lots of schedulers like Doodle or One2Meet, but those are messy and they still don't address the problem of communication. And then currently what we have or what we see around around our friends or other people is that there's a lot of group texting or mass emailing, and those can get really messy. Like, first, it's hard to find a time that works for everyone, and then, like, it's hard to tell everyone without filling up their inboxes. And basically, it's hard to get everyone on the same page in terms of communication and scheduling. All right. So we went around sending out a lot of surveys and asking everyone we know, like, what do people need? And we realized that there are only so many events that people want to plan that are large, public, and like we want to open it up to as many people as possible. Like, sure, there are like birthday parties, weddings, but those large events only happen every so often. What happens more often are more private events where people want to know exactly who's coming, and people want to know, like, people want to be able to invite people and have them RSVP. And those are events that benefit less from sharing them to the world, like having a large public Facebook event. Yeah. So as I mentioned, the most common events that we try to schedule these days are events that happen very soon with little buildup. For example, if I want to get dinner or lunch with friends, if I want to work on a group project together, or if I want to play sports with someone or go to movies sometime over the weekend. Those are all events that have a very short shelf life, and those are events that it would be an overkill to like set up a large planning or use like a whole Facebook event to invite just two friends. We try to address this issue, and the reason why this is so important is that people do not know whether or not they can make an event unless it's coming really soon or unless it's very important. So if I try to schedule dinner with friends 3 weeks in advance, no one will know if they can make it. So our app tries to address the issue of short events, or basically we're trying to make events really simple, easy, and they're more impromptu than large events.
So having said all that, let's go over what we've developed. So like Janice touched upon, we wanted to focus on more short-term meetings rather than long-term events. As like Google Calendar, you can plan farther in advance, like months in advance. But for casual get-togethers who would like to do that, like who knows if they're going to go see a movie 4 months from now or whatever. But also another reason we wanted to focus on short-term events is because it's perfect for mobile phones and for native applications like this. And so the app easily allows planning for like today or tomorrow, as you'll see later on with two buttons. But we also still allow the option to plan further ahead with like a slider bar that can allow you to plan up to 2 weeks in advance. And the app allows like a very, very streamlined creation process. There's only one screen required to actually create an event with limited amount of buttons. You just press this, specify the title, when it's going to be, invite your friends, and that's it. And there are also other advanced options available, like whether you want notification reminders or other things, but those are not required for the event creation process because we want it to be as easy as possible. And the app allows you to sync your the contacts in your on the phone with users who actually use the application. And so one of the tabs of the app allows you to go through your groups, like your contact groups on your phone, and invite entire groups of friends with only one tap. And so you tap on the group name and invites all your friends to the group. You say create event, and it invites them all to event in two taps. So like again, the entire point of this is to make things very, very easy, very quick. And yeah. And the event information will also be available, obviously, in one of the tabs. You can edit the event, you can change the time, you can invite more people. And also, the phone allows you, or the app allows you to create or edit or delete the contact groups on the phone. So if you want to create contact groups or add people to them or get rid of them for whatever reason, you don't have to switch to the contact app that's already given by the phone. You can just stick with our app and switch to the tab that allows you to edit those groups, which is pretty nice. And again, with the concept of ease, we wanted to limit the number of screens the user has to navigate to create and edit and do all these things to events. So we limit it to four. And the first tab just gives you a view of the current events on the user's planner. You can edit, manage them, invite people to it, etc. The tab two allows you to create an event. It's very, very streamlined, like I said, and you'll see it in a moment. Tab three is the tab that allows you to view your contact groups on your phone. And tab four is the settings tab, which allows you to sync your contacts, log in, log out, also change the color scheme if you want to. Cool.
All right, so we'll show you the tabs real quick and then kind of go into some of the Tizen issues that we dealt with. So this is what tab one looks like. You have a group list view. So you have new plans, upcoming plans, and past plans. So we're only going to display past plans up to a week beforehand. So the original idea we had, too, was to associate different files with plans. So if you met for, you know, lunch or something and had a really interesting idea and wanted to share, you know, pictures or videos, then you could tie in files to your past plans. So normally you're not going to look at past plans because once a plan happens, you don't really care about the fact that you had lunch 5 days ago. Unless you're sharing files, then you might want to know about plans in the recent past. So this is what it looks like here. You can edit plans at the bottom. If you set up a plan for a certain time and need to switch it to a different hour, you can edit it. And then the key icon is to denote that you are the event planner, and so you have the power to edit. And then for every single one of these list options, if you clicked on it, you'd see a more detailed view of the event details and be able to RSVP or not, or edit the event details from there as well. This is what tab two looks like. So tab two is all about creating the plan. So we wanted to make it as streamlined as possible. So only the essentials is what you get. So you need a plan title. You need to tell, you know, when this plan is by date and by time. And then you need to invite either individuals or groups. And one thing we talked about was that a lot of times you're going to have similar groups that you're inviting to your plans. So if you can save friend groups and then just invite one group with one click, then that makes it a lot easier and a lot quicker to get your plan to the people that you want to invite. The other feature we added was that if you click on the group button, it'll show you the groups in that second panel there. And groups that you invite more often than not will be starred at the top. So it'll be easier to get to your most popular groups as quickly as possible. And then finally, we investigated inviting people with the app and without the app. So we also showed a little pop-up to let you know if there were people that you wanted to invite but you didn't have contact information for through the app. And that's something we can maybe talk about a little later, how we kind of circumvented that problem as well.
So the third tab is the one that allows you to see the groups that you have stored on your phone. And it shows a group list view of each contact group. And there's a big button that says that displays the name of the group, and whenever you click it, you can. It shows a little context menu that allows you to create a plan for that group, remove the group, or just cancel the context menu. And the other buttons include removing selected contacts from the group, so you can click different contacts in your group, and a little checkbox checks on, and you can remove them or add people to the group as you want to. And you can scroll through it very, very easily. And you're also allowed to add new groups through this, as you can see through the, in the third frame. And it's supposed to be very, very easy. So you just add a group, and if you want to add more members to that group, once you create it, you just press the Add to Group button. You can add it at least one or just as many as you want, as many friends as you want to that group. And tab 4 is the Settings tab. It's easily the simplest tab that we have. It just allows you to sync their contacts, and this is the display that that shows up whenever you press the Sync Contacts button. It just shows you a list of your contacts that are that actually have the app, just for your information. And this, it also allows you to log out. Right now, we're logged in as a username called Deplo. And if we press the logout button, it says you are now logged out. And so whenever you initialize the, this app without logging in, it, no matter what tab you're on, it just displays a screen that says you must log in or register, and you can do so very easily. Cool. So here are some challenges that we face in the development process. Right now, we're going to start with the UI challenges, and Jeff will lead on that.
So just quickly. One of the UI challenges we had was working with the edit date and edit time UI. So that's the blue bar right there. And the biggest problem for us was that it's just too small of a UI control. And so maybe one complaint I would have about the native Tizen development system is that a lot of the UI controls are very fixed and not very customizable. So because of this, when we gave this to users to kind of test out, it was just very tricky because as soon as you swiped off of that blue bar, you would lose focus for the edit time control. So we basically redesigned this control to look sort of like this, where we have the today, tomorrow, later, and then a slider button, and then we also have a different time system where you have plus and minus buttons. So this is all customizable where we just went with buttons, and for the minutes, if you press plus or minus, it goes by 15-minute increments to make it easier to, you know, get to the plan time that you want. And the other issue about the slider, too, is that we wanted to implement the slider for certain things, but there's no step function with the slider, so you can only go one by one. You can't have a slider that if you slide it to the right, it increments automatically by 15 minutes. So these were some of the UI challenges that we had to basically do our own custom thing to get what we really wanted for our app.
Another UI little nitpick is the contact pick operation. It's just whenever you press something, it shows another panel displaying all of your contacts in your phone. You're allowed to pick one or more of them and send that user information back to the tab or the panel that you were on previously. It's like very, very nice, and it actually made coding a lot easier for us, but for some reason it would not allow us to create a new address book manager object within that. And so, and this is the code that we, you know, we tried to do, and it would, the app would always crash in this line. And so to get around that, we made our own contact pick operation, kind of, so you can show that. And it's just simply, it's almost the exact same thing. It's just a group list view with, well, not a group list view, just a regular list view, showing each of your contacts and a check, and a check button allows you to, either cancel a list or click done. And when you click done, it sends the user information back, with, who you've picked. And so this is applicable for when you're creating events and you want to invite individuals rather than entire groups of friends. And so other development challenges we faced in the process were we had to work without a SIM card. So this cutter functionality is pretty short. Like we couldn't implement text messaging or notifications or like track the phone with GPS. And it also just limits our testing to users only with the Tizen devices, only with the app. So we had to just work with the phones we had. And for like login and for communication, we had to rely on email addresses and just working with the app and with the server itself. So it made things a little difficult. And so pertaining to security, we since we didn't have a SIM card, we couldn't recognize the phone by phone number, so we had to use DUIDs. Which all of our devices had the same device UID, so I also made things really, really hard. And so it forced us to revert to the classic username, password, login system instead of just recognizing the phone or recognizing the user by your phone number. And one specific development challenge that that I fixed was we could not have more than one open HTTP session, which is kind of hard to figure out. But we just, to fix this, we just had to go trial and error, like, what if this works? What if this works? And what ended up working was just creating our own class like a wrapper that acted as a wrapper for the HTTP session that that had the singleton style. So whenever we just wanted to open a session, we just say, what my session git instance. And on the next slide, it shows those that code as well. Yeah. And so moving forward, there are a lot of things that we wanted to accomplish, and so Janice will go over that.
We're running out of time here, so I'll just go through them really quickly. The main thing we wanted to implement was, okay, there's reminders and notifications for creating events and when an event is about to happen. Smart features is like saving favorite locations or like, hey, you met here every week. Do you want to schedule another event? And then another main issue that we wanted to face was how to invite people who don't have the app. And we were going to set up a texting system with Twilio. Basically, if you invite someone without the app, they'll get a text message, and they'll be able to RSVP through texting. And there's a few others, but I guess we're out of time.
So thank you very much. Sorry we ran out of time. We couldn't go flesh out the other things, but thank you very much. And if you guys have any questions, feel free to ask. Yeah. I'll take a microphone.
Hi, it won't take very long. This is probably a non-Tizen thing, and not sure you have thought this over because none of you mentioned it.
No worries.
In the sense that one of the real problems what she mentioned was, you know, this email gets, you know, a lot of emails go up and down, you know, in terms of date and choice and time and where you want to meet and things like that. Now, a solution to that could be on one of the last screens that you showed where you can see your group. And since you're doing a peer-to-peer, you know, implementation with this app, if you can get the busy times at the time you selected and just put a red or green dot on the right side, then the planner can decide whether that's a good time or not. Mm-hmm. Just something to think about.
That's like in our future steps. We wanted to integrate it with calendars, potentially, and also like voting features is like, let's say the planner doesn't know what time is the best for everyone, and they'll suggest a time, or they'll suggest multiple times, and then the attendees can vote on which time works best.
Yeah, I think another thing we thought about at the very beginning is that we wanted to set this up so that it was easy to plan events where everyone is free, but people's schedules change, you know, on the drop of a hat, and even if you say you're, you know, busy from a certain time to a certain time, sometimes you can make room depending on how cool the plan is or how important the plan is. So it's very difficult to go off of people's schedules and whether they're available or not at a certain time when you're planning something, unless they know about that event beforehand.
What's up?
Yeah, just one quick question. Did you guys develop this software as a project for CS210 at Stanford?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we did. Cool. Yeah, both of our groups were in the CS210 class at Stanford that allows us to partner with Samsung and do projects like this. So it's a really great opportunity. Any more questions? Anyone? All right, then. Well, thank you guys very much for coming out, and enjoy the conference.